The reading is taken from Psalm 4, which is on page 455, I think it was, in the Bibles. Psalm 4. Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. How long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. In your anger, do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
When you just can't sleep. When maybe something from the day before, you just can't let go of it. Maybe something that's made you a little bit angry. Maybe something that's happened that's made you a little bit sad. Maybe something you've done and you feel a little bit guilty about it. Or maybe it's something coming up. Something that you feel a bit worried about. Maybe there's sickness in the family. Maybe you're starting at a new school or starting a new year at school with a new teacher. What will that be like? Maybe there are some problems at home. Or maybe it's just the sheer amount of stuff you've got to get done. What do you do when you can't sleep? Well, this psalm is going to help us. Because did you notice how it ends? Have a look at verse 8. It says, I will lie down and sleep in peace. Doesn't that sound great? A good night's sleep. Isn't that what we all want? A good night's sleep. And it's not the only verse that's set in bed. Verse 4, when you're on your bed, search your hearts and be silent. Now, of course, it could be referring to our Ignite group still in bed at lunchtime, but I think more likely it's talking about bedtime. It's why this psalm is often called an evening hymn. But it doesn't begin with sleep, does it? Far from it. It begins with stress. Verse 1. Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Literally, give me space. Give me some room to breathe. Have you ever felt that sense of emotional claustrophobia? Like life and everything are just closing in on you, and you feel cornered, and you feel under pressure, and you feel overwhelmed. That's how David felt when he wrote this psalm. We don't know exactly what was going on in his life, but we do know that King David faced more than his fair share of problems. Can anyone see what the problem was in Psalm 3? Have a look at Psalm 3, right underneath where it says Psalm 3. Can anyone see what it was? Have a little look. Any ideas? He was running away from someone. Can anyone see who he was running away from? His son Absalom. He had to run away. Could it be the same situation here? Possibly. Or could there be a famine and people are blaming David? Some think the language of verse 7 suggests that. Certainly, David's reputation is under threat. Verse 2, how long will you turn my glory into shame? And what's more, he's distressed at how people are talking and treating to gods. How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? So while we don't know exactly what was going on when this psalm was written, we need to remember the guy who wrote this knew what stress was. We might be tempted to dismiss this and go, oh yeah, but David didn't have my problems. Well, that may be true. David didn't have a smartphone and 200 emails a day. He didn't have to go into battle with the NHS to get an appointment. He didn't have to change from primary school to secondary school. But on the flip side, very few of us have had to run for our lives, and even fewer from our own children. David knew what stress was. And actually, I think the fact we're not told the exact circumstances is helpful for us, because it makes it easier for us to apply to all the different times when we might struggle to sleep, when we feel angry, when we feel a bit sad, when we feel guilty about something, or when we feel stressed, and when we feel worried. Yes, sometimes when we can't sleep, a teddy will help. And sometimes we might need help from a doctor. But a lot of the time, I think this psalm will help us as we follow David's journey from distress to delight, and from panic to peace, and from stress all the way to sleep. As we remember together some of the things that David remembered, and as we do some of the things that David did. But before we do that, before we dive into this psalm a bit more, we're going to sing a song that reminds us why we can learn from a chap like David who lived a long time ago. Because David's God is our God. And just as God was faithful in David's day and Daniel's day and Noah's day, so God is faithful to us too. We're going to stand and sing all through history. Please take a seat. So, what is it that David remembered? What did he remember with his head and with his heart? When problems and panic are close, and peace and sleep seemed a long way away. Well, the first thing that he remembered is that God is good. Have a look at verse 1. Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. He remembers that God is good, that everything he does is right, that he can be trusted to do the right thing, even when life is hard. Even when we don't understand, God is good. Second, if you're a Christian, you belong to him. Look at verse 3. Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. Now, have any of you seen any of the Toy Story films? Anyone seen a Toy Story film? I think number 2 is my favorite. Number 4's just come out. But in each of the Toy Story films, the toys find something written on the soles of their shoes. Does anyone know what it is? What do they find written about here? Anyone know? Do any of the adults know? Let's see. Andy, they find the name Andy. It's the name of the little boy to whom they belong and who cares for them and who looks after them. And it's as if it's the same with us and God. It's as if he has written his name on us because we belong to him. Imagine I made this boat. Spent a long time making this boat, and it was my pride and joy. And it would belong to me, wouldn't it? Because I made it. But then one day, I took it for a sail. I took it down to the gravel pits, and there was a gust of wind, and I lost it. Imagine that. But then one day, I'm walking around St. Albans, and there, in the window of a charity shop, is my boat. Imagine how happy I'd be, and I would see it, and I would go in, and I would buy it back. Well, that boat would then belong to me twice over, wouldn't it? Because not only did I make it, I also bought it back and paid to buy it back. Well, it's a little bit like that with us and God. See, not only did God make us, he also paid to buy us back. It means we belong to him. You belong to him twice over if you're a Christian. And that's a wonderful thing. The toys in Toy Story, they love belonging to Andy. It makes them feel safe and secure because they know that he will look after them. And it's even better for us because verse 3, the Lord will hear when I call to him. Your mum and dad normally hear when you call out, don't they? Unless there's a particularly important game of football or unless the coffee grinder's on really, really loud. But God hears us all the time because we belong to him. And third, the third thing for our heads and our hearts to remember, belonging to him is the best. It's the source of greatest joy. Verse 7, you filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abounds. Whatever we have or don't have, whatever it is we're worried about or stressing about, if we have God, if we know him, if we belong to him, that is better than friends and food. It's better than Finglings and Ferraris. It's even better than England winning the Ashes. It is the greatest joy. And it's also the greatest security. Verse 8. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. I'm slightly obsessive about checking the front door before I go to bed. Gotta check. Is it locked? Is it really locked? I'm just gonna check one more time. But you see, David knows that it's not any bolts or locks or alarms. It's not any amount of money in the bank account that makes him secure. It's God. You alone make me dwell in safety. See, God alone is a rock to build our lives upon. All those other things that we try and rely on, they're like jelly. And if we build our lives on them, it's not just them that's going to wobble, it's us as well. We are going to worry. It's inevitable. So what does David remember? What do we need to remember when we can't sleep? Well, remember that God is good. Remember that you belong to him, and remember that belonging to him is the best. It means building your life on a rock. In other words, remember the Lord. And we're going to sing a song that tells us to do just that. So let's stand and sing together. Well done. Remember the Lord. That's what David remembers. But what does David do? What does he do with his hands? Well, the short answer is he puts them together in prayer. When David can't sleep, he doesn't count sheep. He talks to the shepherds. So first, he cries out to God. Verse 1. Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. Do you notice there's no great preamble? It's not like when you're writing a postcard from holiday and you have to begin by putting on the address, Reverend Nick Weir, the Vicarage, Frogmore. And then you have to put on a greeting, dear Nick. And then you have to put some other stuff, how's stuff going, we're having a really lovely time. And then you finally get down to what you actually want to say. No, David just goes straight for it. Answer me. Give me relief. Be merciful to me. Did you know that you can do that with God? He is big enough to take it. When life is tough, you can cry out to him. Second, he says sorry to God. He says sorry to God. He makes sure that he doesn't use being angry as an excuse to sin. Verse 4, in your anger, don't sin. I'm sure that's his advice from his own experience, because it's so easy, isn't it, when you're wound up or when you're a little bit tired, to justify doing things that you know the rest of the time aren't right. To reply a bit too quickly to that email. To give in to that temptation you know will just give you a quick hit. Instead, as David goes to bed, he examines his heart. When you're on your bed, search your hearts and be silent. What a brilliant thing to do at the end of the day, to kneel down by your bed and to think through the day that's just been. And to think, is there something that I haven't let go of? Is there something that I need to say sorry to God for? And then do it. Don't wait until next Sunday and we say confession together. Don't wait until the next morning. Offer a right sacrifice, verse 4. Psalm 51 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. David says sorry to God. Now, I'm not saying that will solve all of our problems with sleep. But I wonder how many of our problems would be solved if we made sure we said sorry to God before we go to sleep every night. And third, he trusts God. He trusts God. Verse 5, offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. And trusting God for David meant going to sleep. You see, sleep is a daily exercise in trust. Because we're never more vulnerable than when we're asleep, are we? No all-age service would be complete without a picture of my dog. So here's a picture of Simba with his most bizarre sleep pose. How bizarre is that? What a pose! But that's what he does when he feels really safe and secure, when he knows that he can trust the people that he's with to look after him, because he's exposing his whole undercarriage. Well, when we go to sleep, that is an opportunity for us to put our trust in God, to trust that he will take better care of our problems overnight than we can, to say to him before we go to sleep, God, I'm angry about this. God, I'm sad about this thing that's happened today. God, I feel pretty guilty about this thing that I've done. God, I feel really worried about this, and this, and this, and this. And then to hand those troubles over to him, to say, God, I'm handing these troubles over to you. You can handle them better than I can, and let's face it, you'll be up all night anyway. So I'm going to go to sleep. From distress and panic and stress to delight and peace and sleep. That is the journey that David makes in this psalm. And it's the journey that he invites and that God invites us to make. So when your neck's stressed out and you can't sleep, rather than tossing and turning, why not turn to Psalm 4? Why not read verse 8 to yourself and repeat it and learn it until you drift off to sleep? Why not read it through before bed tonight? Follow David's steps to a good night's sleep. Because we wouldn't just be following King David's footsteps if we did that. We'd also be following in the footsteps of a far greater king. One who also left his throne to deal with a rebellion. One who could go to sleep amazingly in the middle of a storm. One who was mocked when he was at his most glorious. And yet even then, he didn't respond in anger with sin, but he remained silent. One who entrusted himself to him who judges justly. And even submitted to the sleep of death. So that we can go to sleep every night knowing that the greatest enemy we could possibly face has already been defeated. We wouldn't just be following in the footsteps of King David. We'd be following in the footsteps of King Jesus. Even as we cry out to God, even as we cry out to him. And we're going to sing a song now that reminds us that that is a privilege we have and we can exercise every day and every night. Let's stand and sing together.